fiebre hay.
Yeah, that's what your girlfriend or your wife's going to be saying to you after you get into Yellowstone Park and beat all the crowds to all the top sites and basically have the entire park to yourself by following the tips listed in the guidebook for you guys, and you guys can thank me later. So, welcome to Explore Yellowstone Like a Local, the number one podcast for Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks, home to the top-rated guidebook for the parks, and also home to some fun new YouTube videos that we're going to talk about a little further on in this podcast. And this podcast is just a spring update, as a lot of you people are out there already planning your Yellowstone Park vacation. And there are a few updates we need to go over, such as the closing and the opening of a BMA that really affected a lot of people's trips that came in before the Memorial weekend. And you guys are going, what's a BMA? Well, I'm going to tell you. And we're also going to discuss the flights into West Yellowstone. You guys got to remember, West Yellowstone is a seasonal airport, and the opening day flights change every year. But I've got some friends that work at the West Yellowstone Airport, and they have hipped me to all of the information so you guys can know when you can start buying tickets on Delta and United, and we're going to go over that. And then we're going to go over some fun things we are doing with promotions for the guidebook for spring, where you guys can get a free guidebook and some cool swag and all that kind of stuff. And then we're also going to compare the Explore Yellowstone Like a Local guidebook, which has been called the Bible of Yellowstone Park, to some tour companies that offer quote-unquote tours of Yellowstone Park. And the guidebook, obviously, you're self-guiding your group or your family through the park for a mere $12. And we're going to compare that to some of the top-rated tours in the park and how much those cost. And then we're going to finish it off with none other than James Bond 007 and how somehow, some way, he seemed to have dodged the long arm of the law in Yellowstone Park. And so without further ado, let's get started with the spring updates. Now, everybody remember, those of you that have listened to me in the past, over past years, and you've got your repeat visitors to the park, this is not my Yellowstone Park is Opening podcast, which is by far and away my most popular podcast because everybody wants to know what's going on in Yellowstone Park. I do that podcast right around May 20th after I get up there about the first 2 weeks in May, and I've gone into the park for 2 or 3 days and see what's going on. Basically see if there's road construction or if areas are closed. And that really worked out well for a bunch of people last year because there were some huge road construction projects going on in the park. And I basically diverted you guys around to those and saved you guys a ton of time instead of sitting in your car for 2 to 3 to 4 hours stuck in your car because of a road construction in the park. I diverted you guys around that, and I had hundreds of people thank me for that. Now, I will do that podcast around the third week in May after I get up there. So this podcast is just kind of a spring update podcast of a couple things that you guys need to know that are planning your Yellowstone Park vacation. So, and without that, let's get started, and we will hear some more cool music real quick. So let's have some fun with this one.
Summer's day, when I thought I'd lay myself down to rest in a big field of tall grass.
in Yellowstone Park with a bison walking right next to me. So, yeah, anyway, yeah, that's kind of pretty fun stuff. So, hey, for those of you that are just catching on, and this might be the first podcast you've ever stumbled upon, we've got about 20 podcasts out there that break Yellowstone Park down into areas so you guys can visit the park and have a good time and not wear yourself out. And the guidebook has been called The Bible for Yellowstone Park. We discussed earlier the best guidebook ever written for Yellowstone Park and the must-have for any trip to Yellowstone. And the reason for that is simple, you guys. My family's been going up to Yellowstone Park since 1919, and we have spent every year up there. Three generations of Garlands have been up in Yellowstone Park, and I pour all of that knowledge into the guidebook for you guys, and there's a reason it's the number one guidebook for Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park, and I get you to some really cool, out-of-the-way places and then tell you how to beat the crowds to all the top sites, and you guys can catch on to that. Some of the other podcasts, I'm not going to delve too much into that here, but just go to our website, exploreyellowstonelikealocal.com, and you can see a bunch of reviews and pictures you guys have sent us, and then you can get our guidebook is available on Amazon. We've got five-star perfect ratings on Amazon, and however you want to get your guidebook, and you can get it electronically from us. So that's the cheapest way to do it. It's only $12, and we're going to discuss some specials we're going to start running real quick for you guys. And you can get a paperback copy for only $24.99, but we only print off 1,000 copies of the paperbacks, and we ran out about the first week in August last year. And so we'll kind of get into that a little bit more. So if you want a paperback copy, be sure and get it ordered. But it's the coolest guidebook out there by a long shot. Tell you where to go hot potting and get under a huge thermally heated waterfall with warm water pouring all over you. And, you know, it just tells you all the fun things to do inside Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park, as well as outside. The best places to go: whitewater rafting, horseback riding, riding four-wheelers, mountain biking, all that stuff. It's a complete guidebook. I've got that guidebook screwed down tight. There's a reason we are the number one selling guidebook for Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park. So, but anyway, let's get on with this podcast a little bit. So let's discuss what, you know, is going to affect you guys. And the first thing I want to talk about are those BMAs. And a BMA is a bear management area, and there was a really, really unpopular bear management area called the Firehole BMA. And the Park Service, this is April 3rd, I believe. This occurred about 30 days ago. The Park Service made a random announcement and said they have eliminated, after I think it's been up for almost 100 years, the Firehole BMA is now gone. And it was really, really unpopular because it sits right in the main part of the park, right north of it. Started at Old Faithful and went north all the way up through the geyser basins. And it basically encompassed all the geyser basins. And it didn't open until the Friday of Memorial Weekend. So basically, anybody that arrived, you could still go see Old Faithful and all that stuff go off. But if you went just north of Old Faithful, like a few blocks north of Old Faithful, all that was closed for about 10 miles heading north all the way up to Firehole Canyon Drive. And that is a beautiful area. It's where all the geysers and stuff are. And so anybody that wanted to go see Grand Prismatic, everybody's seen pictures of Grand Prismatic, the most photographed pool on planet Earth. And for you to go get up on that upper viewing platform to see Grand Prismatic, you couldn't do it until the Friday of Memorial Weekend. And I mean, they had police tape up on the bridge. There's a bridge you have to cross over the Firehole River to get down and go down the Fairy Falls Trail to get up to that upper viewing platform to look down on Grand Prismatic. That's where you want to see Grand Prismatic from. I'm not going to get into all that now, but just remember, Fairy Falls equals Grand Prismatic. And so you don't have to go all the way to Fairy Falls, but you can get to the upper viewing platform to see Grand Prismatic from the Fairy Falls parking lot. But up until that Friday of Memorial Weekend, you couldn't go see Fairy Falls, you couldn't go see Grand Prismatic, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, because it fell in this Firehole BMA. And over that bridge, they had police tape strewn across that thing, like five people had got murdered on the other side of that bridge. I mean, and people were so mad. They had come from all over the world to go see Grand Prismatic from that upper viewing platform and look down on it, and they couldn't, because Grand Prismatic was within that Firehole BMA. And I mean, you'd see people going underneath that police tape and crossing the river, just wading across the Firehole River right there and just bombing down through there. You know, and a ranger's up there just handing out $150 tickets like they're handing out candy on Halloween. And, you know, but everybody was pissed off. I mean, people had flown from Europe to go see Grand Prismatic, and you couldn't see it up until the Friday of Memorial Weekend. So it really, really, really pissed a lot of people off, because Grand Prismatic's not to be missed on any trip to Yellowstone Park. And that's all great news. That's all wonderful, wonderful news. If you guys wanted to see where that was, where the BMA area was, and where the other ones really don't affect anybody. They're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and you're kind of just driving your car through those areas. But anybody that's going to do some hiking in Yellowstone Park, my hiking chapter in the guidebook has become the gold standard for hiking in Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks, because I get you to the best of the best of the best in Grand Teton when you're hiking right with the spire shooting out over your head, or the trails in Yellowstone Park that get you to the most unique things in Yellowstone Park, because there's 1,000 miles of trails in Yellowstone Park, but about 700 of them are just walking through the trees. It's those 300 you want to find, and that's what I give you guys in the guidebook. I get you guys to where you're hiking to a geyser or a secret backcountry pool, or see some really cool stuff, or a big waterfall where you're going to go soak underneath it and stuff like that. That's the stuff that's in my hiking chapter, my guidebook, the best hikes for little kids, the best hikes for the elderly, stuff like that. That hiking chapter in the guidebook has become the gold standard. And the first thing I say in that hiking chapter is, if you guys are going to do some hiking, you guys need to get these Nat Geo maps for hiking in Yellowstone Park. And it breaks Yellowstone Park down into 4 quadrants or areas: northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest, and they're all broken down. And on those maps, those Nat Geo maps, it showed these BMAs. And you guys got to remember, let me jump, you know, we're talking about how big Yellowstone Park is right now. How they got to break the thing down into 4 maps. Yellowstone Park's as big as Connecticut. You can fit 15 New York cities inside Yellowstone Park. That the main premise of the guidebook is to break Yellowstone Park down into manageable bites or areas that you can go visit in a single day, and it's basically chapter by chapter by chapter. You pick a chapter in the guidebook, that one chapter takes all day. If you want to go watch geysers go off, it tells you how to do that. If you want to go to the canyon area and see the lower falls and all that in Yellowstone Lake, that's another chapter. If you want to go on the North Loop and hunt bears and wolves, that's another chapter. But each one of those items, because Yellowstone Park is so large, it takes a full day to go do those. So that's the premise of the guidebook. So Nat Geo is now scrambling to reprint all new maps for Yellowstone Park, because the Park Service, for the first time in basically, I think, 100 years, has eliminated one BMA and added a second BMA. So let's talk about the second BMA and how it's probably not going to affect 99.9% of you guys, but it does keep you from going to see what I consider the most unique geyser in Yellowstone Park, which makes it one of the most unique geysers in the world during a certain time period. So the BMA they added, you know, the other one was over there by Old Faithful, kind of right in the middle of all the geyser basins on the west side of the park. Over on the east side of the park, on the South Loop again, is the new Hayden Valley BMA. And the Hayden Valley BMA basically starts right there below the canyon where the waterfalls are and runs down towards Yellowstone Lake and basically stops at the north end of Yellowstone Lake. And it encompasses the Mud Volcano area that you really, really, really want to see on any trip to Yellowstone Park. That's part of my South Loop chapter, is to visit the Mud Volcano area, see Dragon's Mouth Cauldron and all that fun stuff, and how you go do all that stuff. Now, the dates for the Hayden Valley BMA start on July 15th and end September 15th. Now, that does not prohibit you from going to see the Mud Volcano area. So you can still do that, because it's on trail. You can still hike on trails during the months of July 15th to the September 15th in the newly formed Hayden Valley BMA. What this does keep you from doing from those dates is going to see the Lime Geyser Basin that is listed for you guys in the guidebook, because that is an off-trail hike. There is no trails or known trails to that area. You're basically traipsing out across Hayden Valley, following the instructions in the guidebook, and getting to the forest of dead trees that I've listed for you guys in the guidebook, and then swinging around and finding Lime Geyser and all the other things that are in that area, which are absolutely top-notch, 10 out of 10. It's a great hike for you guys to go do, and hundreds, if not thousands, of you guys have done that all summer long, but you will not be able to go see the Lime Geyser area that is listed in the park and see what I think is the most unique geyser in all of Yellowstone Park from the dates of July 15th to September 15th. Now, that's kind of a bummer. You guys don't get to go see one of the coolest off-trail hikes in Yellowstone Park. However, with the elimination of the Firehole BMA, you do get to go see what I consider the coolest, easiest to get to off-trail hike that got listed in the guidebook for you guys to the Rabbit Creek area. And the Rabbit Creek area has become so popular for two reasons. One, it's centrally located right over there just north of the Old Faithful Geyser Basin, right in the middle of all the other geysers adjacent to Grand Prismatic, but it's hidden. It's back off in the trees a few blocks, and there's no trail or trailhead marking how to get there. You have to know where to park and where everything else, and the guidebook tells you how to get back there to it. So it's easy to get to. It's an easy hike for everybody. And so that has become a popular spot. We've got dozens, if not hundreds, of pictures you guys have sent us of you guys back in the Rabbit Creek area having an absolute ball all by yourselves and looking at the third largest pool in the world back there. But there's no trails or markers to get people back there. You have to have a copy of the guidebook to know how to get back there to it. And so that's what's some cool things in the guidebook. I mean, we've even had people propose to their wives back there, and it shows him sitting above one of these really cool pools back in the Rabbit Creek area, kissing, you know, putting a ring on her finger. So there's some cool stuff in that guidebook. But yeah. The Rabbit Creek area, because it fell into the old Firehole BMA, was closed until the first Friday of Memorial Weekend, but not anymore. That thing's open any day. The park is open now, so you guys can go bombing back there and check out the Rabbit Creek Geyser Basin. And while there will be 25 or 30,000 people all around Grand Prismatic and people pushing strollers and all that stuff, you can park right up the street. I tell you where to park, where to walk, and everything else, and in 10 minutes, you'll be sitting in front of the third largest pool on planet Earth, and I'm telling you, there's a great picture of it in the guidebook. It's simply a top-notch area that I have found, my family has found, of being up there over 100 years, and I put that knowledge in the guidebook for you guys, and you guys go back there and find the Rabbit Creek area, and it's awesome. It's just top-notch. It's just too cool, and you're sitting there all by yourself looking at these fabulous pools and geysers and mud pots and the whole nine yards, and you got the whole park to yourself. And while there's 25,000 people over there jostling for a, you know, selfie looking down over Grand Prismatic, that's the ticket. That's what that guidebook gets for you guys. So, but yeah, that's the one of the benefits of that Firehole being a BMA now being eliminated. And like I say, the only thing you're missing on the Hayden Valley BMA is not being able to go see the Lime Geyser Geyser Basin, which is another great backcountry geyser area during the months from July 15th to September 15th. So, and I'm not real sure why the Park Service chose those dates, because the Hayden Valley during the summer months of July, August, and into September is home to the largest free-roaming bison herd on Earth. And by the time that rolls around, all of the bears, the grizzly bears that would inhabit that area, there's very, very few black bears in that area. All the black bears are on the North Loop. And of course, we cover all that in the bear and wolf chapter in the guidebook. But in the springtime, in May, and maybe a week or two into June, you might see some grizzly bears in the Hayden Valley. But by the time July 15th rolls around, all the grizzly bears have migrated east to the Absorca Range, which is, you know, basically the eastern boundary of Yellowstone Park. When you guys are tootling through the Hayden Valley over there, and you can look off to your east across Yellowstone Lake and all that kind of stuff, looking straight east, you'll see these high-peaked mountains that even have snow on them, even in the middle of the summer, and that's the Absorca Range that is basically the eastern boundary of Yellowstone Park, and you have those tall mountains because they were not close enough to the Yellowstone volcano eruption to disturb them. So that's the high mountains on the east side of the park. But the grizzly bears migrate over to the Absaroka Range during July, August, into September, because there's a white pine that grows over there in those higher elevations. And in that white pine, there's this huge white moth, about as big as the palm of your hand. And those grizzly bears go over there and eat those white moths to get all their nutrients to get them through hibernation through the winter. That's where they go. So, I'm not sure. I'm sure that Cam Shawley, the park superintendent, has his reasons that are well beyond my knowledge. From July 15th to September 15th generally is the time the grizzly bears have gone east. But those are the dates the Park Service has set. So we're just going to leave that alone and go with it from there. So, but that covers all the information about these BMA areas for you guys. So, all right, so let's get into a lot of you guys are planning your Yellowstone vacation, and we're going to talk about flights into West Yellowstone. We're not going to talk about flights into the other cities you can fly into, because I cover that in the guidebook, and they are open year-round. But the flights into the tiny airport at West Yellowstone are seasonal, and the dates change every single year. And I was able to get those dates for you guys, so I'm going to give those to you next, so you know when you can fly into West Yellowstone and on what airlines. Let's do that next. And we're going to hear some cool music. Some Marvin Gaye, that's for sure. So, all right, so let's talk about flights. There are only two airlines that fly into the tiny town of West Yellowstone, and they can be really, really scary expensive. So you've got to search multiple days when you're going to fly right into West Yellowstone. But the benefit of flying into West Yellowstone is you're about 2 miles from the town of West Yellowstone, which puts you 2 miles from the entry gate into Yellowstone Park at the west entrance, which just dumps you right into the main part of Yellowstone Park. You can go through the gate right there at West Yellowstone, and in 28 short miles, you're watching Old Faithful go off. That's how close West Yellowstone is and the Yellowstone Airport to Old Faithful. I mean, you can land on the 9:30 a.m. flight on United out of Denver, get in your rental car, drive into the gate, and be watching Old Faithful go off, and then go have lunch in the Old Faithful Inn, but before noon. That's how close the West Yellowstone Airport and West Yellowstone is to Yellowstone Park. That's the reason you want to try to fly into Yellowstone Park. So we're going to get into some of the other stuff, the cost and all that stuff in a second, but Delta Airlines flies via Salt Lake City. Delta is starting earlier this year than I've ever heard them start before. They're going to start offering flights into West Yellowstone on May 6th. And anybody that's listened to me in the past or has bought a guidebook knows you do not want to go into Yellowstone Park before May 15th or so, right around May 15th. The park opens the third Friday in April. But, you know, you want no part of Yellowstone Park for the first 2 or 3 weeks it's open, because it's just snowed in, cold, freezing. You can watch Old Faithful go off, but you're only going to see steam coming out of the ground. You're not going to see water shooting out of the ground. And a lot of stuff's closed. The Old Faithful Inn, the iconic Old Faithful Inn with the giant red doors, doesn't open until May 15th. And the visitor center up at Canyon, which is not to be missed on any trip to Yellowstone Park, doesn't open until the second week in May. And all the trails are going to be closed in the Canyon area until about May 15th, because they've got snow on them. They don't go shovel them off. They let the snow melt naturally. I go over all of those reasons about when you should plan your Yellowstone Park vacation in the guidebook. I've got a YouTube video out there for you guys to watch, and you can listen to the podcast Planning Your Yellowstone Park Vacation if you want. So basically, May 16th to me is about a week too early, but you can start flying in to West Yellowstone on May 16th. And like I said, the flights into West Yellowstone can be scary expensive because there's no competition. But in the guidebook, I list outskirt area towns that you can fly into. They're only an hour, hour and a half drive from West Yellowstone, where you can fly in for, God, a third the money. If you guys search it up and hunt some deals up, Southwest flies into a couple deals. And I list all those for you in the guidebook so you guys can save a ton of money on flights. However, for those of you that want to fly into West Yellowstone, that's what this information is for. Delta flies in starting May 6th. United, on the other hand, which only services the airport on weekends, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, starts flying in on June 1st, which I think is a couple weeks too late, but that's their opening day for United is on June 1st, but they only fly on the weekends. So United right now is pretty cheap. Delta was, God, from Salt Lake City or from Oklahoma City to Salt Lake City, Salt Lake City to West Yellowstone was almost $1,000 round trip. I mean, it was outrageous. You can fly to Paris round trip cheaper than that. So United, on the other hand, I just looked from Denver to Salt Lake City. I put in June 1st and staying a week and flying back to Denver. And then, of course, once you're in Denver, you can get anywhere you want. It's only $190 round trip. That's pretty cheap, man. That's that to get into West Yellowstone, you know, round trip from Denver. Of course, you got to get to Denver from wherever you're at. Was only $190, man. That's dirt cheap. So, but yeah, those are the opening dates. Now, the closing dates are all based on the weather. They generally close. They stop doing services around the second or third week in October because I'm usually on that last flight out, and so that's generally when it is. You kind of got to watch their websites and, you know, go from there. So yeah, but when you're on Delta or United, you know, click, if you've got flexible dates, click flexible dates. I'm telling you guys, it can go from $1,000 round trip down to $310 round trip if you just go one day later. You guys have got to search multiple days on those flights when you're flying in and out of West Yellowstone. And like I said earlier, I talk about those other outskirt areas you can fly into, which ones you should fly into and shouldn't fly into to give you an easy access to West Yellowstone and why you should base out of West Yellowstone because it is the closest, easiest access to the park. And again, you can watch all of that information on YouTube videos, listen to them on the other podcasts, or get all that information here, but I'm not going to delve into it any more than that. So that kind of covers all the flights for you guys. And so let's talk about, we've been talking about the guidebook and how you can get a copy for only $12, and it's the best guidebook ever written for Yellowstone Park. I mean, it's really, really a good guidebook. One of the recurring themes in the reviews that you guys post for the guidebook is how easy the guidebook is to use. You don't have to read the whole guidebook to have a great time in Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks. You just read the chapters that interest your family or your group, and then you go do that one day adventure out of that one chapter and have a great day in Yellowstone Park. It's really easy. So let's talk about the guidebook, and I kind of went glossed over that earlier and my family's history and all that stuff. And again, you can see all that on YouTube videos and everything else. And so I'm not going to delve into all that here more than I already have, but I was thumbing through a Condé Nast Traveler, and they had some articles on Yellowstone Park. And they, you know, were talking about how they can know the best trails in Yellowstone Park. Well, I promise you, they don't know half the trails I know in Yellowstone Park. And so, you know, if you go in there 5,000 times all your whole life since you're 6 years old, you kind of get tired of doing the same stuff. You go find new stuff to do. And that the new stuff to do that was really cool is what I've got in that guidebook for you guys. So, you know, they'll probably talk to you about if you hire this company. In Condé Nast Traveler, it was called Graham Company. And this article mentions how they're going to do some excursions and somebody will come talk to you. And they mention bird watching, which is kind of odd in Yellowstone Park. Most people want to go see bears and wolves and bison in Yellowstone Park and watch geysers erupt and see some cool pools. And, you know, you don't see a lot of bird watchers inside the boundaries of Yellowstone Park. But it's one of the things they mentioned in this article. And so, you know, in the book, in the guidebook for you guys, there's some really, really cool things in there. You know, like I tell you the story of Thomas Moran and Artist Point and all that kind of stuff. And I also discuss how even though Thomas Moran and the Moran Bench is at Artist Point, that is not where he painted his world famous painting from. He actually painted that painting from Lookout Point, which is across the canyon and much closer to the falls. And so there's some things in the guidebook that are you know, kind of bring some clarity to things in Yellowstone Park, because everybody goes down to Artist Point and everybody thinks that Thomas Moran painted his world famous painting of the Lower Falls from that spot. And, you know, I get into the guidebook how that painting was half finished and he brought it to Congress and, you know, tears streaming down his cheeks and saying that man cannot touch what God has wrought in this magnificent place. I am not worthy to paint it. And then a vote was taken and Yellowstone Park was established as the world's first national park on those words. But that's just some interesting things that are in the guidebook for you guys. Now, there's things in that guidebook that are not going to be out there for any other company out there because they simply don't know about them. And that's like the story of the three brothers. There's no plaque or marker marking the spot where the three brothers camped on their last night in what was soon to be Yellowstone Park. But I tell this heartwarming story about how three brothers were the third, fourth, and fifth white men to ever visit Yellowstone Park and were instrumental in getting the Hayden Expedition started some years later. And basically, without these three brothers braving the Indian tribes that inhabited Yellowstone Park and seeing all the cool things in Yellowstone Park, Yellowstone Park would not exist in 1872. But there is no plaques, no markers, no nothing showing you that spot. And in my guidebook, I tell you where to park and I tell you the story of the three brothers. I can't drive past that spot going into the park every day. And I will see somebody out there with my guidebook in their hands telling a group of people the story of the three brothers. So that is a absolutely not to be missed story. But I have never in my life heard any other guide tell it or seen it in any other guidebook. But I show you where the three brothers peaks are that were named after the three brothers in the guidebook. It's really, really cool. And the guidebook gets you to those magnificent places where you can go swimming and hot potting and back on backcountry geyser base and stuff like that that these people simply don't know about. And you can pick up a guidebook, electronic copy of a guidebook for $12. Let's discuss how much Gray and Company charges for getting you into Yellowstone Park and taking you guys around, guiding you around, as opposed to you using the guidebook to self-guide your family or your group through the park for $12. Gray and Company charges $3,000 per person per day. So if there's two of you, you're shelling them $6,000 a day. If it's you and your wife and your two kids, you're shelling them $12,000 a day. Yeah, you heard me. That's how good of a bargain that guidebook is. The best guidebook ever written for Yellowstone Park. Hands down, I'm telling you guys, there's things in that guidebook you're not going to find anywhere else in the world. And they're in there and you can pick it up for $12 and you're going to have a 10 times cooler time and see 10 times cooler things than anybody else is. Pay, I don't care how much they're going to pay. That guidebook's going to get you to the coolest things in Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks, and it costs $12, and you're going to save all that money. Can you believe it? $3,000 per person per day. That's insanity. I mean, who's got that kind of jack? Not me. And I mean, I'm telling you guys, one of the premises of the guidebook is to save time and money on your Yellowstone vacation. And I tell you guys how to do that on flights, lodging, and dining, and save you guys thousands of dollars. I hear it every year from dozens of you guys that I saved you guys over $1,000 by following my money-saving tips on flights, lodging, and dining. And you guys are going to have a blast, and you're going to have a lot more money in that wallet. You're going to have that ZZ Top wallet, that fat wallet when you guys get home. So, all right, so let's get into some fun stuff that we are starting to do as everybody gets closer to their trip for guidebook stuff. We do some really fun, interesting stuff you guys may not know about, but yeah, we're going to involve some pyrotechnics. We're going to try to keep my cousin from getting his hand blown off. And you guys don't have to do anything to enter these contests. All you got to do is purchase a guidebook on our website or on Amazon, and you guys are automatically entered into these contests, and you guys can win some cool prizes. So let's go over all that next.
Now I told you, so you
that sounded eerily familiar to some of you guys. That is actually Fleetwood Mac, who paired up with this guy at the height of their popularity, named Walter Egan. I'm not sure what Walter Egan had to do with Fleetwood Mac, but that is basically Fleetwood Mac playing on an album for this guy named Walter Egan. So it's really cool. If you guys are Fleetwood Mac fans, you should look that up. It's a great album. So he had a wreck doing 70 miles an hour, got hit head on in a car listening to that very song, almost killed me when I was about 16 years old. So anyway, let's talk about some of the fun things we are doing for you guys in the guidebook. Anybody that purchases a guidebook is automatically enrolled in these things. So the first thing we're going to do is a monthly drawing. So we are doing a drawing every month. Like anybody that purchased a guidebook in January, we had a drawing the first week in February for a free gift certificate to Hank's Chop Shop, which is a great restaurant right there in West Yellowstone. Gave away a $50 gift certificate to Hank's Chop Shop, and all you had to do was buy a guidebook, either electronic, paperback, didn't matter. You were in that drawing. And then we did a drawing for February last month, about the first week in March, for a gift certificate to Wild West Pizzeria and Saloon, which has fabulous pizza. I mean, they took first place in a nationwide pizza contest about 4 or 5 years ago in Vegas, because I was there with the owner and his guys, and they took first place. I mean, it's really, really good food. These are all the places that we recommend you guys go. We're going to give away a gift certificate to get into the Grizzly Discovery Center there in West Yellowstone, and this month, for everybody that purchased a guidebook in March, we are going to give away a $50 gift certificate to West Park Outdoors right in West Yellowstone, and that is like a small REI store right there in West Yellowstone, and we really, really needed that bad because basically, you know, there was no place to go buy some good quality clothes. A lot of people show up to Yellowstone Park coming from Southern California or Florida or Texas or wherever, and they think it's going to be hot and sunny, and they show up and there's still 6 or 8 inches of snow on the ground in the first couple weeks in June or the first couple weeks in September. And they get off the plane and go, oh my God, it's freezing up here. So, you know, as opposed to going and buying some janky $20 sweatshirt that's not going to make it back home with you, you can go buy some quality gear. And for those of you who want to look for bears and wolves in the park and don't have some good binoculars, they sell, that's probably their best seller, some really cool binoculars. But it's a great store if you guys want to do some hiking. They've got great waterproof hiking boots and stuff like that. It's like a miniature REI store. It's really, really cool. Become really, really popular. And we're going to give away a $50 gift certificate to that. Today is Wednesday, first week in April. We're going to do that this weekend and give that away. And we kind of have fun with these. So the first drawing was done by a guest drawer, none other than Maynard James Keenan, who is the lead singer for the rock band Tool. You guys can go to our YouTube page and actually see that. And then we were going to do a pyrotechnics deal last month for the gift certificate to Wild West, but I couldn't get my cousin bailed out of jail quick enough for that one, but he is now bailed out of jail, and he is going to do the one this weekend for me because he owes me a huge favor, and he has claimed to be a pyrotechnics expert. So we are going to put all the names into a kind of a tin thing, and we're going to blow up all of the names into the air, and whichever one comes down in one piece, and hopefully Freddie doesn't blow off his finger so he can grab one of them and tell us who wins the $50 gift certificate to West Park Outdoors. So yeah, we're going to do some fun stuff. And after I get up there in May and stay all summer, we'll do the drawings at the places with owners of the places we're doing the drawings for and all that stuff. So won't be quite as exciting, but you'll be able to see the interior of these places. And you guys got to remember, we've shot videos of all of these places for you guys, and those are on our private YouTube page. You guys got to remember, if this is your first podcast ever here, there's a QR code in the back of the guidebook that gives you access to a private YouTube page, which is home to the largest single library of videos ever compiled for Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks. Not only do we cover everything that's listed in the guidebook in the parks, there's a little icon next to everything. You can go back and look at it and see what I'm talking about in the guidebook. We also cover all the things outside the park, riding four-wheelers, whitewater rafting, all that yada yada yada, as well as all the restaurants. So you guys can see those firsthand to see if you guys want to go dine there after you get out of the park. So that's kind of some fun things we're doing with the guidebook. And all you have to do is purchase a guidebook. And if you purchase an electronic copy and a paperback copy, which is a bundle, we call it, and it's actually less expensive, you save some money to do that, because a lot of people get an electronic version that they can send to the people that are going on the trip with them. We allow you to do that with family members, and then you get a paperback copy as well. That's kind of a fun thing we do for you guys, but those people are entered twice into the drawings. They bought an electronic and a paperback copy. And for those of you that haven't bought a guidebook yet or are thinking about it, when you guys go to our website, you're going to see some cool merchandise on there. And we got some real cool trucker hats, some really cool Yellowstone t-shirts, and all this kind of yada yada, really high quality stuff. And for anybody that purchases a guidebook in the month of April, and we're going to start that this weekend, and you can go buy a cool Yellowstone Park trucker's hat or a t-shirt or whatever you guys want, and we will send you a free electronic version of the guidebook. So you guys can get some cool swag and get a free copy of the guidebook. And we'll run that through April, and we'll kind of see how popular it is. And if we want to keep running it, we will into May. But probably it'll just run in April, and we will start that this weekend, as this is April 3rd today. So we'll start it this weekend when Lisa can get all that posted in there. So, and last but not least, let's talk about the long arm of the law in Yellowstone Park. And we're going to kind of go over some stuff that's in the guidebook for you guys, how you can police the park in the moment with your phone, and how you can actually catch James Bond 007 in action and get his ass prosecuted. So this will be the last thing we talk about in this podcast. So we'll have some fun with this, and then we'll finish this baby out. Here we go. In the guidebook, we spell out really clearly how you guys can help police the park in the moment with your phone. So, I mean, they'll get 50, 75, 100,000 people come bombing in the park a day in July and August, and they've only got a handful of rangers on the ground to protect the park's natural resources. That is their main goal, is to protect the park's natural resources, and secondly, to protect the people. And I'm telling you guys, you guys have all seen the videos of somebody up there taking a selfie right next to a bison, or somebody standing right next to a bison or something like that. It's nuts. It's crazy. I mean, people get killed and stomped by bison every summer. And, you know, it's thin in the herd. It ain't thin in the herd of the bison. It's thin in the herd of the people standing next to those damn bison. But in the guidebook, we provide you all the information to police the park in the moment with your phone, how you're supposed to video them, follow them to their car. The key is to get a picture of their license tag, and then we give you all the information to turn in these people that are breaking the rules of Yellowstone Park and damaging the resources and nearly getting themselves killed by in the guidebook, so we guys can help you guys do everything. And so, and when you guys visit the backcountry geyser basins we got listed, we tell you how to be safe and keep grass under your feet and all that kind of stuff, so you're not committing thermal trespass. And thermal trespass is what we're going to talk about here with none other than James Bond, aka Pierce Brosnan. And so Pierce Brosnan visited Yellowstone Park this last winter, and he got off one of the trails, the wooden boardwalk trails in the Mammoth area. He just traipsed out across a bacterial mat, and that bacterial mat takes decades to form, and you can leave your footprint in or something like that, and it takes about 25 years for that footprint to disappear when the bacteria gets back, you know, lays back on top of it and hides it. So, you know, it's a big deal. Nobody wants to see a footprint in a bacterial mat when they visit Yellowstone Park. They want to, you know, keep it in as pristine condition as possible. And so right there in Mammoth, right where the ranger stations are located, the main ones, especially in the winter, is about the only place that's open in the Yellowstone Park, is over there at Mammoth. Pierce Brosnan just traipses out across one of these bacterial mats and do-gooder, like I want you guys to be, videos him and goes to a ranger and turns him in. And you know, and it just happens to be the actor Pierce Brosnan. So he goes to court some months later, and he is ordered to pay $500 in fines and $1,000 in community service fees after he pled guilty to travel in a thermal area in Yellowstone Park. So, you know, and I've got a little bit of a problem with that, because I know many of people who have committed thermal trespass, and basically thermal trespass is anywhere you're walking out on some rocks or a bacterial mat in a geyser basin. I mean, I've heard the story of a guy waving the American flag out in front of Old Faithful in front of 25,000 people, screaming and yelling something, and nobody could hear him because the wind was blowing. And so they arrest that guy and throw him in jail. He ends up spending a week in jail and pays the fines and $1,000 in community service fees. And then, you know, another guy did the same thing. People will always walk on the bacterial mat around Grand Prismatic, like they're trying to cut across and make a shortcut across a boardwalk, and they just don't know what damage they're going to commit. And that's a real high area for thermal trespass. And generally speaking, 99% of the time, these people are going to spend some time in jail, and they're going to have to pay these fines and these fees. But it seems that the wheels of justice for 007 turn at a different rate than they do for everyone else, and he only had to pay some fines and did not have to spend any time in jail. So I don't know about all that. I guess if you're an actor and you're actually played James Bond in a number of movies, I guess that's pretty cool. I guess you get to get a pass on your first violation in Yellowstone Park. So if he does it again, maybe he'll end up spending a week in jail. So you never know. But yeah, all the information's provided for you guys to police the park in the moment with your phone. The rangers really need help. I give some really good examples in the guidebook, and I don't know. I'll tell you guys a quick story right here. If you guys have listened to me in the past, I love to tell stories. And I was going up to the North Loop to hunt bears and wolves. God, this was 10 years ago probably. And I hadn't been to the Sheep Eater Cliff areas because there's not much to see there at the Sheep Eater Cliffs. I hadn't been back there in 25 or 30 years. Something told me I wanted to turn into the Sheep Eater Cliff areas. Call it divine intervention. Because I go back there and I park the car back there and I'm kind of walking down this trail and looking at the river going down through there to kind of see where it goes. And I keep hearing this clink, 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 this ding, ding, ding behind me. And, you know, so I go back to the parking lot and there's this guy up there with a rock hammer chipping big chunks of the Sheep Eater Cliffs off with a rock hammer. And here comes this little kid running down the hill, this little girl, you know, and the mother's down there making sandwiches in the back of their car. And look, mommy, daddy gave me a piece of the Sheep Eater Cliff so I can take it to show and tell. Well, he's permanently damaging the there's 7 to 8 million year old cliffs with a rock hammer. You know, and I took pictures of him, videos, and went up there and gave him a piece of my mind, turned their car in and the whole nine yards to a ranger. And I never heard what happened to it, but that's what you do. You start filming them, they're going to stop when you start filming them. And then you politely ask them to stop what they're doing, and you're going to get other people behind you. The do-gooders outnumber the bad guys by, you know, 100 to 1 or 1,000 to 1, and then, you know, go down there and shoot a picture of his license tag and turn him in. And they're going to end up hopefully not paying a fine. Hopefully they're going to go to jail when they permanently damage the resources of Yellowstone National Park, because the park has so many visitors. If everybody did some damage, the damage would start showing. So that is the number one goal of rangers in Yellowstone Park, is to protect the natural resources of the park. And you guys should adhere to all that and follow the rules I've got set out for you guys in the guidebook, so you guys can watch and do everything safely and within the rules of the park. So, all right, I'm gonna get off my high horse about all that. But yeah, 007 actor Pierce Brosnan was ordered to pay $500 in fines and $1,000 in community service fees, and I wish it said, and spend 7 days in the hoosegow. So that would have got everybody's attention. That would have set the precedence that, if Pierce Brosnan, 007, is going to get thrown in jail for 7 days for thermal trespass, I'm pretty sure I don't want to do that. That would have set some precedents had they done that. But maybe that'll happen again if he ever visits Yellowstone Park and tries to reenact one of his scenes when he was James Bond 007. All right, so that's it. You guys have made it to the end of this podcast. And remember, this is just my kind of mid-spring planning your trip. We went over the BMAs. One's gone. That's a good thing. And one added. And it's kind of over there where you guys aren't going to even probably know it even exists unless you wanted to go to the Lime Geyser in the summer. And then we talked about the flights and all that stuff, and then fun stuff to do with the guidebook. And we're going to do all some fun things. And we're going to watch my cousin Freddie blow his hand off this weekend. So, all right, you guys have a great time in Yellowstone Park. And look for my next podcast, which should be right around May 18th through 20th, and I will give you all of the updates about what's going on in Yellowstone Park for the 2024 season and things you should know about road construction and things like that, so you don't end up spending half a day in your car for no reason. And I will publish that out as fast as I can once I get up there. So you guys remember to buy a guidebook and keep that wallet fat. I'll see you guys in Yellowstone Park. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.